Welcome to the God's Word portion of the worship from Daleville Christian Church. The congregation would have you know that they are aware that portions of God's Word are thousands of years old, and yet they can still speak to us today in our situation. That our God desires to speak to us in our situation. He uses His Word first. And so we spend time trying to understand what our God would tell us in His Word. As we seek to know our God better, as is His will, that we may serve our God better, as is His will. We begin with an affirmation of our faith, this one from 2 Timothy in the first chapter. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, His prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life. The reading of God's Word for today is from Luke's Gospel, although I'll be referring again to 2 Timothy chapter 1, but the reading of God's Word for today is from Luke's Gospel in the 12th chapter, verses 21 through 34. Jesus finishes one of his parables saying, "This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens, they do not sow or reap, they have no storerooms or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things. And your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the poor, provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Power, love, self-discipline. Let me just make a flippant observation. I've seen lots of people on screens who claim to demonstrate the presence of the Holy Spirit, but I've never heard any of those people, and I've been watching screens since 1998, I've never heard any of those Spirit-filled people say, "Oh, wow, I feel so loving. I just love you all." And I never heard anyone say, "Oh, wow, I feel so self-disciplined." because the Holy Spirit of the living God doesn't make us timid. We can't be afraid to say, I love you, unless you're an American male. I understand that. There is no reason to fear. There is no reason to fear with God's Holy Spirit. I know, fear isn't reasonable. It's emotional. I know the problem. I know. Fear isn't reasonable. It's emotional. I could talk all day about why we shouldn't be afraid, but you wouldn't like it. If I talked all day about the reasons we shouldn't be afraid, I would be worn out and you would probably still be afraid because fear isn't reasonable. We like to think it is. We want to be reasonable people, even if Freud demonstrated 100 years ago that we are not reasonable people. We still insist that we are reasonable people. We are full of phobias. And there's a name for each one. There's even pantophobia. Do you know what pantophobia is? It's the fear of everything. Some fears appear to be genetic. Fear of falling. Fear of loud noises. Infants demonstrate both of those fears in laboratory setting. Fear of the dark may not be genetic, but it's acquired very early. Our vision is a warning system to us. In the dark, we lose that safety function of vision. Our ancestors certainly learned it early, and the fact that all our modern cities are well lit and even visible from space should tell us something about our fear of the dark. Our fear of the dark is real. Fear isn't wrong. But as I will mention later, we American Christians are afraid of the wrong things. We probably can't talk ourselves out of fear or reason with ourselves about it. If fear of the dark is interfering with your daily living, then therapy will usually be helpful to return you to a normal level of fear of the dark. As John Ortberg has written, and I have quoted him many times, the most frequent command to human beings in the Bible is don't be afraid. I double-checked at BibleGateway.com. The phrase don't be afraid is only in the Bible 23 times, but separately, fear not, is in the Bible 82 times. So God knows all about our fears, and God attempts to calm our fears first by saying we are starting on the wrong foot if we are afraid. Why this so basic statement from our Lord God who loves us? Well, apparently you and I are as jumpy as a herd of white-tailed deer. If we turn and run, we will miss God's blessing. We will miss God's instruction. We will miss participating in God's plan. We will miss any learning that is supposed to take place. If we turn and run when the Lord wants to tell us something, we quickly become losers. Losers. Because of our fear. We become losers because of our fear. I've told myself and I've told other people quite often, never take counsel of your fears. Never take counsel of your fears. If the enemy army outnumbers your army, God knows. So don't think about it. If your enemy is a giant, God knows. So don't think about it. Don't even think about putting on someone else's protective armor, as David did. Especially if it doesn't fit or the armor just gets in your way of doing what you can do well with a sling and some smooth stones. God knows exactly how much Goliath's spear point weighs. It weighs 15 pounds. That's just the spear's metal point. Does David need to know that to win? No. Should David ask Goliath how much his spear point weighs? No. David has probably never seen a 15-pound spear point. Should David ask Goliath how far Goliath can throw his spear? No. Never take counsel of your fears. And yet, you and I often do it every day. Even in matters of faith. Even in matters of faith. And that's why I'm preaching on this today. It isn't America's fears, it's America's Christians' fears. Americans' Christians' fears are today's topic. Some of America's Christian fears are the same as everyone else's. Losing a loved one to sickness, violence, natural disaster, or accident. No one leads a charmed life. Even the wealthy, or the popular, or the celebrity, or the strongest Christians, and certainly not the saints. I remember someone telling me that if you want the faith of the apostles, you'll have to face the same problems the apostles faced, that the apostles faced, and that helped me scratch a few things off my to-do list. Russell Moore will quickly confess that he acted out of fear when his gut told him it was wrong. Russell Moore was once president of an office in the Southern Baptist Convention. You know what happened in the Southern Baptist Convention last year, right? The list of pastors who were rightfully suspected or prosecuted and guilty of sexual assault, rape, and sex with minors. Moore previously served as president of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, the public policy arm of the Southern Baptist Convention. Moore confesses that he thought the SBC should take more seriously the charges against its clergy, but kept quiet out of fear that harping on the problems would hurt the mission. Moore was let go from his office in the SBC. In his book, Losing Our Religion, An Altar Call for Evangelical America, author Russell Moore wrote, many Christian leaders stay silent or make claims they know are not true out of fear. Hear that. Many Christian leaders stay silent or make claims they know are not true out of fear. Christian leaders afraid. For Christians, friends, the truth should be nothing to fear. Moore argues in the book, pastors who go along with the crowd get to keep their job. Those who step out of line are punished, and all it takes is a few angry donors or church members to make a pastor or a leader's life miserable. I'm talking more about the disconnect between what people really believe and what the expectations of the tribe demand, wrote Moore. And that's what I see to be so dangerous and exhausting to people. His new book was inspired by conversations Moore has had in recent years with disillusioned evangelicals, some of whom, he said, are feeling a sense of despair at the state of the church and of American culture. I was taught that American culture was never a friend of Christianity. As long as all Americans were fighting communism, everything was okay. When the Soviet Union fell apart, Christianity and culture lost a common enemy. Christians were hoping Islam could be a common enemy, but the same constitution that protects Christianity also protects Islam. The Constitution can't play favorites. Besides, we learned that Islam isn't one thing. It's three things, and two of the three branches have subdivisions. So which Islam is the common enemy? And can we tell the difference? Well, how many American Christians can tell the difference? This summer, a Lifeway research study, and the people at Lifeway are good biblical people, Their research this past summer finds almost 7 in 10 U.S. Protestant pastors believe there's a growing sense of fear within their congregations about the future of the nation and the world. Additionally, more than 3 in 5 say their churches have a similar increasing dread specifically about the future of Christianity in the U.S. and around the world. Friends, I just said a week or so ago, the way Americans practice Christianity in the 21st century, we should be worried about the future of Christianity in the U.S. It's a little silly to worry about Christianity around the world. From what I hear, the entire continent of Africa is thriving with Christianity. African churches are so concerned about us, they want to send missionaries to the U.S. The way Americans practice Christianity in the 21st century, we should be worried about the future of Christianity. We don't read our Bibles, although it's never been easier to do so. We don't pray generally and don't include prayer for ourselves and the world in our megachurch worship services, at least not the ones I have attended or watched. And we give money to screen preachers who don't pastor churches and who will not be accountable about the money they receive. And not to mention the hundreds of pastors who have violated their congregations, the report from the Southern Baptist Convention a year ago. And I remind you that those pastors were heterosexual male and mostly white pastors who violated their congregations. I'm not even talking about the Roman Catholic Church and its priests. I'm talking about Protestant, heterosexual, male pastors. And church people worry about drag queens? Drag queens are the least of the church's worries in America in the 21st century. I guess one of the real problems is not fear in the congregations. The problem is we're wasting our fear on the wrong things. We're wasting our fear on the wrong things. With regard to concerns about the future of Christianity in the U.S., all Christians can do something about that right now, today. With regard to concerns about the future of Christianity in the U.S., all Christians can do something about that right now, today. Start praying. Pray more. Pray regularly. Start reading your Bibles. Share something of your faith with your loved ones. Let them know something of what God has done for you in Jesus. Stop spending time on social media. I don't have to tell local congregation to do that. I can tell you, you're not missing a thing on social media. There are clever and entertaining videos, but that's why I watch funny commercials. Pastor Greg Laurie is the senior pastor of Harvest Christian Fellowship with campuses in California and Hawaii. The church numbers some 15,000 people. Today, Harvest is one of the largest churches in America and consistently ranks among the most influential churches in the country. Most influential? I've heard of Greg Laurie, but I had to look up what church he serves. And I read a lot. In a video, Greg Laurie opined, that is, he stated his opinion, that the growing sense of fear among Christians is probably because of the way things are in the world right now. There's so much bad news, so many scary things happening. Wait a minute. Scary things happening? War? Nothing new. Ethnic cleansing? Nothing new. Random violence? Nothing new. It doesn't matter if statistics tell us violent crime is down worldwide and in the U.S., we won't believe that violent crime has been declining if we insist on reading and watching violent crime every day. Even if statistics tell us that violent crime is declining in the world and in the U.S., we won't believe violent crime has been declining if we insist on reading about violent crime every day. Greg Laurie added in that interview. And when we talk about the end times, the last days, some people say, oh, I don't want to hear about all that doom and gloom. Laurie said, but the reality is when we understand the teaching of the Bible on the end times, it should not fill us with fear, but fill us with hope. The article said, some who were raised in evangelical homes have expressed that fear of being left behind. During the rapture caused them to experience rapture anxiety, also contributing to a generalized sense of anxiety. Rapture anxiety? That's a new one to me. So obviously the teaching about the rapture is, one, we're not good at it, and two, it's not all that helpful. As you know, I don't focus on the end times. The only issue for me is Jesus coming back? Yes. Is Jesus coming back soon? As you can put it on your calendar? First of all, it doesn't matter what I believe about it. Soon on our calendars is not an article of faith. Jesus is with us now, and when Jesus returns, we will be with Jesus in a new way. At least I don't have rapture anxiety. When I preached on fear before, I focused on a fear listed in the Bible, a real fear, losing our faith. And I can't help but think that if we prayed more and read our Bible more, and should I mention trust God more, we probably won't have the fear of losing our faith. 2 Timothy 1, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. The apostles' own instructions to the churches, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. I didn't check it, but I'm sure it says which is in you all. It's in our Bibles. The apostle reminds you, and the apostle will remind you every time you go to that verse in your Bibles, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. You don't have to heal people or speak in tongues. You don't even have to interpret tongues. You don't have to be slain in the Spirit or fall on the floor or even shake. You can pray more and experience more love for yourself and everyone, because it's been given to you by the living God's Holy Spirit. Amen.